Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Alistair Trombley-Birchall from the Two in the Think Tank podcast. I am here to say that I am doing a comedy festival show called Alistair Trombley-Birchall, No Relation, at the International Comedy Festival in Melbourne, Australia. It starts the 30th of March and it goes to the April 23rd. Yes. And it's going to be like the kind of shows that I would do with Andy, but not quite as good because I don't want Andy to think that I don't need him. And so that
and
is
you know
happening.
I'm going to come along and watch and sit in the front row reacting emotionally to the quality of the show.
That's right. So yeah, and so then, but then speaking of shows that I've done with Andy, me and Andy and have teamed up with Stupid Old Studios, which we are directors of, and we are going to release some of our old comedy festival shows on the Stupid Old Studios YouTube channel called Stupid Old Channel. And that we will release Magma next week for everyone on the YouTube channel. It's the same place where you can get Gamey Gamey Game.
Yes. It's out from behind the paywall.
And also, peeking out. And also, what is Beck's new project? It is Comedians Cut My Hair. Comedians Cut My Hair. And apparently there's a new episode of that coming up soon. So go there to check that out. But then the week after Magma is released, we will release Teleport, which actually nobody has seen yet, except for maybe a tiny little clip. And so that will be out there. And then you can watch it and enjoy it and then use it as promotion to stimulate your own interest to come and see my live show at the Comedy Festival. This is the longest promo we've ever done.
Man, if you watch those specials and you think, God, I'd love to see this, but without Andy in it, that would, I mean, you're the perfect audience for Alistair's.
Yeah, that's right.
Oeuvre.
I would love this without the complicated sentences that Alistair forces Andy to read as the lines, because I can't say them. Or I can't say them in a way that is satisfactory to Andy. I also can't say
inscrutable whims.
I also can't say the simple sentences in a way that is satisfactory to Andy.
I mean, you're making it sound like I am this impossible taskmaster, but I mean, really, I just want the words, the key words of the sentence to be said in the right order, Alistair.
What a slave driver.
And speaking of Stupid Old Studios, next week we are recording some live comedy specials there with a lineup of comedians, including Alistair Trombley-Birchall. If you watch the show, which won't be out by then, on the channel, and you think, I'd love this without Andy, and also I'd like it in a different format where I only want a little bit of Alistair, then you should definitely buy a ticket. We'll put a link below this, and you can come along to Stupid Old Studios and watch some live comedy. It'd be great.
We've promoted for so long. This is like so the longest we've ever done. all right, we're gonna
hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we promote things. Just promote our other projects.
I don't know if you heard me do a sound, right? But it was almost the exact opposite of the sound that appears at the beginning of Home Improvement done by Tim Allen. When he's not in his Buzz Lightyear role, where he would go like that, and that's an outward sound, and I did it inwardly like that. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, I guess the pure way it could have been opposite. I would have gone like that going in still.
That. So if you hate Home Improvement and you program television shows, maybe consider getting in touch with Alistair to ask if he has any ideas for sitcoms. Maybe one called Home Disprovement or Homewrecker.
Or Out in Public Disprovement.
We'll work out the name and then we'll work out what the show is.
Look, we may as well figure out what the show is now and use it as our first. It's about a guy who's trying to get along with everybody in public. And he's trying to come to terms. He's very effeminate. And he's coming to terms with
how well he gets along with his teenage children.
How long he gets, exactly, in public.
In public. What about this? It's DIY. Australia is a DIY nation. We love a bit of DIY. Ooh. What if it was for some reason? What if it's the government? The government is deciding that they're building a new parliament house, new government house, new parliament house buildings, but they're doing it DIY. They're building it themselves. So the prime minister and all the ministers of the government are building their own parliament house. It's a horrible idea. It's a horrible sketch idea. I was just trying to think of what is the opposite of DIY, right? And I went to so do-it-yourself is when you build your home yourself. It's for private people to build their own private residences. What would be the opposite of that? It would be public figures building doing public works, building a building. And then I said what I just said to you, and then
I guess the opposite of DIY is just paying somebody to do it. But then, then mixing the two ideas together, if we're trying to get quantum here, rather than just going for opposites, one or zero, I guess the opposite is 1-0, which would be paying somebody who doesn't know how to do it to do it for you.
Yeah, right. So hiring somebody else, another unskilled renovator.
Yeah.
And
it's cheaper. I mean,
it is. Yeah,
it's cheaper than paying a professional.
You know what's cheaper than paying a professional?
A paid DIY. You know.
Yes.
And then
it's called DIY. Don't do it yourself.
Yes, and then I guess the opposite the opposite of that is yourself being a professional and then not doing the work. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Or doing the work in an amateurish way.
I think when you hire somebody to DIY it, though, what you would need to do is you would need to hire a couple, right, to come and live in your house and renovate it as if it is your house. So they do a full renovation, going through the emotional journey of renovating, the inevitable struggles that result in their relationship. It's filthy. They have a very limited budget, of course. That's a great thing about it because, you know, if you could get somebody else to DIY your house for you, they have an incentive to keep the costs down.
Well, I mean, they already have a limited budget because you're paying them so much less than
that definitely adds to the verisimilitude, certainly.
Oh man, we got to start using that word a lot more in this podcast. Verisimilitude.
Yes.
Did I say it wrong?
Similar attitude.
Very similar attitude.
Verisimilitude.
Verisimilitude. I mean,
that's one of those words where somebody sat down one day and was like, "What's the most fucking complicated word I can justify coming up with? I can tell people it means something."
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Look. Can we just say it's the hire? Like, how would we just say, you know, hire DIY? I mean, I don't personally 100% need them living in your house.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. And where do you live during that time?
I think you're still living in your house as well, but they're playing out the renovation thing around you. Right, and you work around them, but they're there, living amongst you, ignoring you, treating you, I guess, like a ghost in your own house. You get to feel like a, you know, you, like you're haunting your own house. They don't acknowledge your existence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But your house is doing a self-renovation. It's just not yourself doing it.
Yeah, I like that, Andy. I like that. I like this ghost, you know, thing. I think we'll be able to get people who love horror movies to watch this sketch now because of this ghost feature. You know, I think I like the way that you're integrating more genres into this sketch idea. Could it's one of them solve, cuisine. You know, be sitting in a sort of a dark PI's office, you know, with light just coming through some Venetian blinds, maybe in the house, maybe that they've installed partially incorrectly. and then somebody comes in and they say that there's been a crime that they need them to solve.
Yeah, great. Or a fella done them wrong and they need them followed.
And that
a
way
dame,
they can
a real classy broad.
This and then using this this money from the PI thing that they're doing on the side, they can get a little bit more money to finish to complete the renovation.
I need to solve this crime so I can finish the bathroom. Be great.
And get paid, you know?
Yeah. It's how could it would be great to have a barter system where you're a private investigator and you're trying to get your house built without having to exchange any money. So you need to find exclusively contractors who've got some sort of mystery they need solved. And then as you make progress on the mystery, they'll do more work on your tiling, your your bathroom.
You bring them
every
some
time
photos.
You have a breakthrough, they you know, do another square meter of tiling application.
So you have to come to them with your new breakthrough, and then before revealing what the breakthrough is, have to barter out a new part of the
yeah, that's right.
You know, I was like, all right, it's like, well, I think you're gonna want to give me a full sink out of this and install it and do the plumbing on the sink and maybe even
this
the cabinet.
It's the new genre of films. It's called Renoir-vation. And it takes place in an imagined universe where there is no money, but people exchange services and follows a private investigator trying to finish their house makeover.
Yeah, and so he's got his wife on his back about getting these renos done. But he's also got to satisfy the builder to get him to finish the thing. And so there's a real work triangle.
A nice work triangle. Well, a nice hate triangle. I mean, I hate triangle.
I don't know.
I
what
hate
the
somebody, but they don't
is.
Hate me. They hate someone else. This is a new thing I've come up with. It's a hate triangle. My enemy doesn't dislike me. I loathe them, but the feelings are not reciprocated. Yeah. They loathe another. Their bile is given to another.
Their bile is poured upon. Now, how does this work? Okay, so wait. A love triangle is when I love somebody, but they love somebody else who loves me.
Is it better to call it a loathe triangle? Do you get more out of it having a similar, slightly similar sounding word?
Yeah. I think Andy, if you can get anything out of this, that feels good. Okay, so we've got a loathe triangle.
You keep trying to do things to win their loathing.
Yeah.
But it's never enough. They still feel either indifferent or
because they're too
focused. Indifference would be progress. They really quite like you. They find you charming.
They really like you at all. Yeah, they like you completely. I mean, it could be somebody who is, you know, actually quite. It could be like a person that you're in a relationship with who you realize that you don't want to be in a relationship with anymore, and you're trying to get them to end it because you're also a coward.
Yeah, yeah. That's
right?
true.
And so,
but then there needs to be a third person in the relation. In the Loathe Triangle.
So then they love you, but then they hate your new neighbor, Cynthia, who they're jealous of, and they think is trying to steal you from them. Right, but actually, Cynthia hates you because of how you keep your lawn and
yeah, okay, great.
And park your car in front of her house, things like that. For some reason, when I initially
Before. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you go.
No, you hit me. You hit me when you liked it before. No,
Mine's nothing. You go.
No, initially, I was like trying. When I first thought of a Loathe Triangle, I was thinking it's like, oh, I hate a person. I think I was going to say I hate a croissant because it. Does weird stuff to my tummy, right?
Yep.
So maybe I'm gluten intolerant or something like that. But then I couldn't find a way in which a croissant would hate a person.
I mean, you certainly made a rod for your own back there, Alistair, by starting off the idea hating an inanimate object. Yeah. We're trying to hypothesize a new form of relationship called a Loathe Triangle. Mm. And it's already hard enough to work within the constraints of that system. But to make one of the vertices of the Loathe Triangle a croissant is...
making it so
unnecessarily extra level of difficulty.
Yeah.
I'm going to complete this analogy on God mode, which means...
I just thought that, probably like in a way that you could maybe make a croissant using almond flour or something like that to actually get through this problem for this guy. Maybe you could also substitute something for loathing that the croissant could do,
The croissant version of loathing. I mean, giving you an allergic reaction, would that count? That could happen if you substitute almond flour.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But then that's still not really a feeling that it's coming from the croissant.
The croissant experiences.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you ill.
Yeah.
It's
a shame.
I mean, I think that, okay. No, then no, I challenge you to come up with a better version croissant loathing.
I mean, look, to come up with a better one is very difficult than coming up with at least something that seems like anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, look, I've written down Loathe Triangle. I've also written down, Barter Renoirvation.
I thought before when you said you completely like someone, I thought that was a very funny idea. The idea of when you love somebody, you might love everything about them. Mm. But the idea that you would like somebody and like everything about them without that tipping over in any way into love, sure. But that you... I don't know if anyone has that unconditional like, Yeah.
Or even like unconditional like a little bit.
Yeah.
I like that person a little bit unconditionally.
I'm partial to them. Unconditional.
Unconditionally partial. I would favor them in a small insignificant choice. Without question, at
I
any
want
point.
To spend a little bit of time with them always. While we were talking before about the noir renovation thing, I had a little idea that made me feel really happy, and I've since.
But you wrote it down. Just read it off the piece of paper that you wrote it down.
No, I didn't, Alistair.
No. Just Andy, just read it off the piece of paper that you wrote it down on because of course you know that no idea will stick in your head.
This one I hate. The other night I woke up and I had an idea in my head for a perfect two-sentence story that would be like completely satisfying in two sentences. Forgot it. I was like, I don't need to write this down. This is so good. There's no way I would forget this. Gone. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Could have made me. Could have made me. I could have been that.
I know. You could have been better than
two-sentence guy.
Better than that two-sentence guy. You know, you could have been better. Because, I mean, you know, people would have thought, well, remember how that other guy wrote a story in one sentence? Well, this is twice as good.
This one's a long read. This one's for if you want to stick around. This is the
if you've got extended. An afternoon off.
I've done a Reader's Digest version of that baby shoes never worn. never worn one. It's just the words dead baby. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I guess you actually don't need. I mean, I guess if you'd just written. Oh, yeah. I was about to say unworn dead baby's shoes.
For sale. Dead baby. Never lived.
Do you think it's not a story? Dead. If it's just like. If it's just. I mean, if there isn't anything that you unpack in your head.
Well, I think you do unpack something in your head with that one, don't you? Oh, not with, yes, but with one where it's just like the words dead baby, you're saying that perhaps that's not a story.
I mean, technically dead baby does have a story to it. And there is something that gets unpacked, you know?
What if it was this?
Yeah.
The words, a baby, and then brackets, dead. Close bracket. Right? Because that's exactly the same version as, you know, for sale baby shoes, right? So far, so normal. Even fine, even cute, right? Yeah. Even adorable. Brackets never worn, right? Suddenly sad. And this is the same. Baby, brackets, dead.
It's so sad because, you know, they were gifted so many shoes at the beginning. And the babies grow so fast that they just didn't get around to putting these ones on. It's a story of waste.
Yes, the tragedy of, you know, and all the things that you get given. Because people focus on the baby, which is the cute, exciting thing. But really, it's probably the mother who needs more care at that time. Because she's devoting so much of herself this newborn child. At the expense of her own identity.
I mean, really.
Oh, it's great. More things for the baby. Thank you so much.
Yeah. What do you think would be a nice gift for the mother at that period of time? Shoes?
Mother shoes.
Mother shoes. Never worn.
It's also sad.
Oh, no.
I mean, also, what about this? But for sale, baby shoes, really worn out. Now, really? babies don't walk. Babies can't walk. What's going on? The soles are worn through. Oh. From all the running that baby's been doing.
Yeah, that is also pretty spooky.
It is spooky. I think that's
very
spooky. Baby shoes,
really worn out. Worn by a man, stretched out by the foot of a man.
One on his big toe, and he would walk on point like a ballerina on his toes, but wearing like a single baby shoe on his, like a Shaolin monk.
You know those Shaolin monks who do like, you know, they do push-ups on like one finger or on their thumb or something like that?
Sure.
But their whole body weight, but these ones, they walk around on their big toe whilst wearing big, wearing baby shoes on them. But also, for sale, mother's shoes, some baby spittle spilled on them. Vomit is what I meant to say, you see?
Yeah.
Baby vomit on them. That means the mother never wore them, but the baby was alive and born.
It's definitely less sad.
The, no, I mean, I think it means the mother died.
Oh, okay.
The mother died in childbirth.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you're right.
God.
She was wearing shoes. Was she wearing shoes?
You're not very good at unpacking stories, eh? She wasn't wearing any shoes. She wasn't a mother. She wasn't a mother at the time. She wasn't allowed to wear these shoes.
But they've got baby vomit on them. So the baby found the shoes.
Yeah, so while the dad's been raising the baby and trying to get rid of these shoes, he was doing a terrible job. He spilt baby vomit on it. He's trying to feed the baby baby vomit, a big bottle of baby vomit.
I mean, that's what comes up anyway.
What comes
What's
out?
The difference?
A lot of the baby vomit is just milk.
You're telling me it's not secondhand.
You're telling me that can't go inside a baby? Well, that's where I got it from.
For sale, baby vomit. Still a lot of milk in it. Hardly digested at all.
All right, now what are we doing?
We're driving people away, Alistair. We are thinning the herd. That is a great collective noun for listeners, by the way. A herd.
A herd?
A herd of listeners.
Oh, that's good. H-E-A-R-D?
No, you wish. H-E-U-R-E-D. Like the French for an herd.
H-H-E-U-R-R-R-E-D-H space H. H space H. Just so there's no confusion with the other words.
I don't like it when you ask how something is spelt and then people say it's spelt like it sounds.
Oh, cunts.
Yes.
Can you spell cunt for me? It's spelt like it sounds. Well, you sound like a cunt.
Yes. I'll just write down your name then, shall I? I would never say that.
Oh.
Shall
right.
I?
Michael? M-Y? K-E-L? Omar M-Y-K-L? Right, fucko.
Fucko is a good word.
Fucko is one of the best.
In the next Batman movie, the Joker should use the word fucko.
Oh,
feels
yeah.
like something he would say.
Well, if we get even darker, the next Batman is going to be completely dark. It's going to be a full black film. No white.
They should have an Aussie version of the Joker called the Larrikin. And he could call people fucko.
Okay. Batman Down Under.
Yeah.
Still got all the same villains, but just Aussie versions.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we got the Riddler, but this one's... Yeah. Or the guy with a couple of cheeky cues, I don't know, cheeky quessies.
It's Dave Hughes. It's Dave Hughes. We got it's
Dave
Hughes. We got you like the penguin? Well, you're gonna love you like the penguin?
Oh, you're gonna love the ibis.
The fairy penguin.
Oh yes, okay.
He is
well, remember Matt Stewart did a joke about this. He's like, oh, you know, Aussie superheroes, and then he has instead of Batman, they'll have
Wombat Man,
and then he says, and then here's another one. Instead of Spider-Man, Redback Spider-Man.
Nah.
and then
that was a great bit. And then
he has the Batman will make up Batman Aussie, but he'll have the Aussiest name ever. Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Which is perfect.
It's very good.
It's perfect.
That's but the this perfect is a different joke. Bit. This is a completely different bit that I'm doing here.
Sorry, I know.
Which
I
is
know,
about what if, instead the of Larrikin superheroes, what if supervillains were Australian?
I know, of course.
Completely
of course,
different
of course.
Bit.
Andy, I know. And it's got the Larrikin instead of the Joker, and it's got Dave Cuse instead of the Riddler. And it'll be played by Dave Hughes.
Yep.
But
do you think Carl Barron is Australia's greatest comedian? I haven't watched much of his stuff, but it's consistently going viral.
Oh, like, man. Yeah.
Bits of his.
I think I had a theory recently.
Mm.
Because you know how I have my theory that being a comedian is a way of sort of crossing cultural and class barriers the quickest, probably. Maybe a bodyguard is the other way, right? And so you get you can get access to the upper tiers, the upper echelons of society by becoming a good comedian, because they put you on, you know, as the entertainment during, you know, like the White House correspondence dinner or something like that, you know, that kind of stuff. And so if you were a foreign spy or an alien who has taken human form, the quickest way to get access to the upper echelons could be by, you know, having your spy agency or alien agency. Train you up, help all work together to become a good stand-up.
Well, this is
either a spy or an alien. And the reason my other argument for it is that he doesn't hang out with other comedians. He's all on his
own. I've never heard of him doing a lineup or anything like that. I mean, I guess he doesn't need to. But you're right. I don't think I've ever even seen a show of his advertised anywhere.
All he does is go do
huge shows nobody knows about and go viral.
That's right. And I even know somebody who was running a room, and he walked by the room as the guy was flying out the front, and he goes, "Oh, we're doing a comedy night. Do you want to get up?" And he goes, "Nah, thanks." Why would a comedian not want to get up and do a comedy room? Oh,
because
I've got a few ideas.
I mean, this goes back to the jesters of yore, Alistair.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, of course, you could be some schmo, and then you get performing directly for the king. You're crossing all those class boundaries, and I guess it's because rich people aren't funny, right?
That's right. They're not funny. I mean, they're funny when they're really rich and they're completely themselves.
Yeah, but, that's true.
But not on stage.
And they're also not prepared to.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have their peers laugh at them.
That's right. Presumably. Yeah, that's
one of the things they hate the most. So they're never going to do it.
That's right.
Mm.
Do you think the idea
that I had before I was so desperately trying to remember and I thought was great, it's not that great, and it's made me lose confidence in whether or not my two-sentence story was actually all that good after all. But my idea was like the word classy. Right, you can talk about things being classy, but of course, things can be lots of, unless you specify what class. We don't know. You could be, she's very classy, working classy.
Yeah, she's very classy, sort of cube-like with one big hole that you can sort of go into and put a lot of drawings on her insides, just paste it up on the inside of her skin.
What are you talking about?
children's drawings pasted up on the inside of her skin. And there's a lot
of desks. She's a classroom. Is that what you're saying? She's a lot like a classroom?
A lot like a classroom.
Yeah, she's very classy.
She's very classy. School classy. So he's like, I mean, this was a classy girl, I'm telling you. How classy?
Well.
Dr. Vinnie Boombutts.
Write it down, Alistair.
What am I writing down?
Well, if it were up to me, you'd be writing down the words working classy.
Okay,
yeah. But I don't know if that's enough of anything. So you could also write down school classy, which is a person that you could walk inside and have a class, stick pictures up on the walls, children's drawings up on the inside of her skin.
Paste it up on the inside. Look, I'll just write the working classy one because it's me just trying to fuck up a joke. You know me. You know my tendency.
Oh yeah, no, you want to fuck it up.
Like Matt had. Matt saw something the other day. I've been hanging out with Matt a little bit because of because we're trying to work on. I'm replacing Andy, and because we're both working on comedy festival shows, and
that's great.
Andy, don't say that like you really think that. No, I'm just joking. I apologize. But Andy, Matt saw something. We saw a school called, it was something like, you know, Edward Bank, right? It was a school called Edward Bank, right? Now, he was thought that there was something in that, right? Now, I could only think of the fucked joke, right? The joke that isn't really a joke. It's like you see it as a joke, and then I go, oh, here's what the joke would be. It's if you fucked it, right? Mm. You go, so it's a school called Edward Bank, whatever. And you go, I mean, what is it? A school or an Edward?
Yeah, no, that's much less fucked than the idea of a person being a classy and being like a classroom. But yeah. And I think that's a joke. I think that's something. Is Matt going to do anything with that? Is he using that
bit? I mean, that was the joke. I was like suggesting it, but it sounds like one of those jokes that I would suggest, and then nobody in the crowd would laugh. You know?
Ah, yeah, sure. The crowd. Oh, so the crowd's got to laugh now, do they?
Andy, I am getting a tax return, and it is one of the greatest things that's ever happened, right? You've received a tax return before, right?
Yeah.
And it is so wonderful. And you know what's great about not having to pay money, but and then actually getting it back?
Yes.
Is you go...
That's tax-free, that money, by the way, as well.
Exactly. That's the thing. You go, so I can just have this money? And they're like, yeah. And you go, and I don't have to pay tax on it? And they go... It already was tax. You go, and just tell me I can keep all of it.
No, but how about this, though? Do I have to submit an invoice? No.
Yeah, no.
We just put it in your bank account.
You'll go, whoa. But I don't get it. This seems crazy. It's like,
is that
allowed? You just paid too much. You go, fuck. I made a good decision at some point. Wait. This doesn't sound like really me.
Alistair, yeah. I think the listeners deserve to know how much money you're getting back.
It's not okay. It's actually not okay. It's because the year before, because during the time before, during the pandemic, I had paid a lot because I had fucked around. The government allowed you to take out your superannuation. And then it was at the beginning of the crypto bull cycle. And then I started just, you know, during lockdowns or whatever, I started seeking high dopamine things, right? High stress things. And so I started watching fighting so that every week, every day, my body thought it was in a fight. And so I was maxing out. I was maxing out all my, you know. And so when I wasn't doing that, I was gambling with my future savings. Took out my future, like my retirement income.
Yes.
And so I was putting that into crypto, and just buying and selling and buying and selling. And every one of those is a taxable event, right?
Mm.
And so money was going up, money was going down, money was going up. I sold, bought and sold somewhere, like, you know, so every time it's so that I did that to like, to the, because it was like $20,000 that I took out of my super, right? And then, but it was buying and selling, and that's my, anyway. And so I bought and sold so many times, it was like $250,000 worth of buying and selling.
Christ.
Like, you know.
That's the total value of all the transactions.
Yeah, the total value of all the transactions, right? But out of that, there was a bonus, right? So there was like 30,000 that maybe wasn't lost.
Yep.
But on that, because it's just buying and selling, you have to pay capital gains tax, which is 50%.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah, wow.
So a mixture of that and a lot of my work being invoice based. Right? And then also me hitting a certain peak point in income meant that I owed at the end of that tax thing $30,000 to the tax office that year before, right? And part of that was because I went above a certain threshold and I had to pay $10,000 of my university
wow.
Right? So then I had to be like, ugh, I got to find that money. But lucky I still had, just like, even though the crypto had already gone down, I could sell a bunch of that and then basically most of it and then pay off my tax. But the year after, because when we work in the arts, we have that weird tax averaging thing. So usually, you know, if you just have a really big year like that, I think that means that even though this year I didn't really make that much, I think I basically made enough to cover my tax with my, cover my income with my tax or whatever. Something happens in there and I'm getting, let's just say I'm getting like $5,000. And so that feels like a miracle.
That's, you're getting, you know, $500?
No, $5,000.
Whoa.
I don't know. It feels very weird to broadcast.
No, but I think, especially after that story, I think we needed to hear it. We needed to hear the number.
Yeah.
That's really great.
It's a little bit more.
Buy some crypto.
Yeah. I'm feeling really good about it right now. I love it. I love it when heaps of exchanges are collapsing. Anyway, is there a sketch idea in that?
Let's see now. Tax return. Oh, well. But what about somehow you could get a time return, and all the time you spent fucking around with stuff during the year, and then at the end you get an extra week back.
I mean, how would that work? How would you be able to get, like, this would, you know, this would actually have to happen through if we had there was a public vessel that we had that was government owned, that the government could put you on. It's just a ship, and they could shoot it up into space and take it to close to the speed of light. And then you could go away for an extra week. And come back and, you know, I guess they would make it work somehow. Wait, I think if you went away close to the speed of light for a week, for what is a week to you, I think that actually you would come back and like 3,000 years would have gone by. So I don't think that actually works in the way that I was hoping it was. What if it takes you, it gets you, slows you down.
But I mean, maybe that is
absolute...
getting you an extra week. If everybody else has aged by a week and you haven't, that is kind of like getting an extra week, right? Because that's an extra week of your life will extend relative to everybody else. It's not like you get to do any more stuff, but you do get to watch people, a lot of people die earlier than they would have otherwise. And that maybe that's the greatest gift the government could give you.
Yeah.
Outliving.
Yeah. Outliving everybody. I guess you get... You just get to be a week few further in the future.
You get to dance in a few more graves.
You get to it's a, I mean, because I mean, sometimes if you feel, sometimes I could imagine, right? I know that there's probably a lot of sadness in becoming a centenarian, 100-year-old, centenarian. Yep. That's when you.
I'm a centenarian. I have the. The upper body of a normal man, but the legs,
legs of a 100-year-old
man.
100-year-old horse? I mean, I think just having the legs of a 100-year-old is very funny. But...
yeah, maybe a 100-year-old horse is pushing it too far.
Yeah.
No.
Centenarian.
Centenarian.
Centenarian. I mean, yeah. I mean that. I guess that happens in a lab. That's you know, not as many labs look like a sort of a big castle on the top of a cliff these days.
That's true. You know?
That's been a big change when you know. I guess a lot of the research has gone public these days, or universities. Rather than
That's
sort
right.
of one guy. But it's just the incredibleness that those guys back in those days were able to get so many kind of like of those like bulbous glass tubes and things like that, you know?
Because yeah, you'd they know were able that to that get all that glassware.
All that glassware to have to blow all your blow your own glass, I guess, or you have to know a guy down into town.
Mm. Yeah, but then he's got to get all that glassware up all those steps without it breaking.
Oh, yeah. Even just a horse and carriage up that up the cliff face. You know, up, not up,
up the rickety cliff face.
Yeah, but even if it's along a, you know, a dirt road.
It's a great idea,
like that.
By the way. It's riding horses up cliff faces. It's a new sport. It's you're on the back of a horse and the horse is climbing a sheer cliff.
So it's... Is this? It's like the opposite of sort of horse abseiling.
Yeah, that's a great way to visualize that. Yes. If you want a picture horse rock climbing,
yeah.
Well, just picture horse abseiling and imagine the opposite,
and then go backwards, and then reverse it. You put that now. Put that thing down. Flip it and reverse it.
Mmm.
Now, how would you
put the
harness
thing down?
Put that thing down, that idea. Now flip it and reverse it. Because I guess you're picturing, that's I guess if you're picturing the horse abseiling back to cliff.
Yeah.
Right? Is that how you were picturing an abseiling horse?
I mean, I was just basically picturing a horse being dangled off a cliff. I wasn't picturing anything very...
But you don't picturing its legs
detailed.
Along the wall?
Oh, yeah. No,
but,
I was doing that.
But just
that.
Picture
yeah,
this. Like, 'cause if you want, let's say you picture the harness of the horse. This is for the one climbing, right?
Yeah.
There's a rope at the top, right? Maybe it's attached to kind of a crane, like the kind of crane with a rope. Anyway... But the harness is kind of goes over the shoulders of the horse in between the legs and it really is lifting, you know, basically hovering. Anyway, you're sitting on the back and you're, I guess, just strapped in your legs. The harness, you know, the legs are kind of strapped in all the way underneath. They're strapped to each other underneath the horse.
Yeah, sure.
And you're just holding onto the reins, but they're really more attached to the rope, right? So now and then the horse kind of walks up a little bit, but really the crane is just pulling up the horse.
Yeah. Now I'm not satisfied with that. I need the horse to actually be climbing, and I don't want there to be a rope above the horse. I want this horse to be doing lead climbing, right? Where the horse is, there's no rope above. You've got to hammer, you or the horse has to hammer in the little pinions into the rock as you go. You're taking your own rope. It's not good. The hooves are not built for gripping. They can't do it at all. That's why it's funny to me. The scrabbling of the hooves. Yeah, goats, I mean, they really throw a spanner in my works here because they're incredibly adept at doing exactly this thing with hooves.
But it's a cloven hoof, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's the design of the horse, the distribution of mass.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that you're on the horse's back, all of these combined to make it a really psychotic thing to try and imagine. True.
Yeah. Now, what about a four-leaf cloven horse? I mean, cloven goat. Coof. God damn it! Fuck! Four-leaf cloven hoof.
Alistair, I love it. Write it down.
Andy,
I reckon we've got five sketch ideas, Alistair, we should go to words from a listener.
Five sketch ideas and an in-depth description of Al's tax... Okay, wait. Situation. Am I writing up horse rock climbing?
Yes.
Okay. This is still, I think,
you know that period of time when people were using, 3D rendering to make just messed up videos of like those ones with the guys flopping around all over the place and doing weird dances and stuff. I think if one of the people who was behind that could also do me a video of a horse climbing a cliff with a man on its back.
Yeah.
The band can be flopping around if you want.
Just before we go, before we leave this idea, I just want you to picture the horse abseiling, but it's horse dangling again from a rope, back against the cliff.
Yeah, right? Okay.
And man sitting on the inside of the horse's belly, facing down and holding on to the legs. That's horse abseiling.
That's fun.
Now that's another animation they could do if they're doing that.
Yeah, great.
Four leaf cloven hoof. I feel like I don't know why, but I feel like a four leaf cloven hoof would be for a swimming goat.
Sure, webbed foot maybe.
Well, I think if they're leaved, I think that they're sort of these instead of like a hardened nail, sure. They would be a sort of a wide kind of lily pad style, lily toe.
Swimming goat.
All right, Andy. Well, I guess we'll go to three words from a listener. Now, today's listener is Caleb Devick.
Caleb Devick?
Caleb Devick. I mean, Caleb has only been a contributor to the Patreon for a few months, but he's so quick on the trigger to resubmit words that we are already back. And we do have a few words to get to at the moment, but I love when people submit either side tank ideas or three words from a listener. It's great to just have stuff to get to. So please do that if you haven't submitted for a while. Now, Andy, do you want to try to guess what the first word is?
Yes, hairless.
No, it's not. But you could picture a person who's hairless doing this. It is bondage.
Okay. Bondage. The second word is domination.
No, Andy. No, you couldn't be further away from it if you tried again. No, the second word is James.
Bondage. James bondage. So the third word is bondage again. Bondage. James bondage.
Now, Andy, I'm going to say that you guessed the word correctly because you did. You did guess the word correctly, and that is very good. But
wow.
But when I was writing down bondage for the second time, I actually misspelled it. So on a technicality, you're wrong. The word is actually bong gauge. I apologize. It's bondage James Bong gauge.
This gives me a great idea for a stoner James Bond. Bong, James Bong. And he is high all the time. He's high. He's a spy. This movie
yeah.
writes itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the government taglines.
The government legalizes recreational marijuana and they nationalize it. Right?
Great. Okay.
You know, and so then the security agencies have access to its secret power. You know, you know, under Her Majesty's, you know, it's you know, Her Majesty's, you know, blessing. And so then you get James Bong possibly having to protect all the...
It could also be a something like the Fast and the Furious, where like the guy's so good at driving cars, the police recruit... Is that what happens? The police recruit him because he's so good at driving cars? They recruit him to go undercover as his own police
car? I think
he
was already a cop.
He was already a cop, but who was also good at driving cars.
But because he's good at driving, they recruit him to go undercover as a street racer.
Maybe I was thinking of Armageddon, where they're so good at drilling holes into things, they recruit them to be astronauts.
That's true. That's right.
But in my one, then there's a guy who's so good at smoking bongs, right? Yeah. Then there's a ring of stoners who need to be infiltrated. So they get this guy and they train him up as a spy. Because it's actually easier to train a bonghead to be a spy than it is to get a spy to develop a really high tolerance for marijuana and for bullshit conversations.
Absolutely. And it's because the problem with infiltrating a stoner group is that they're so paranoid.
Yes.
And so they will be able to tell straight away if you're not one of them. And that's why they need they need to hire a real bonghead, James Bonghead.
I think that's an idea.
Yeah.
I'm calling it right now.
But do we want to try to get something in with the bondage as well? I don't know if you want to, because I did kind of fuck up his idea, his three words.
Bondage, James Bondage. Let's see. We know that James Bond likes sex.
Yeah.
He likes a lot of it.
I mean, we know that there's, that, you know, some people sexually enjoy there to be this kind of pain aspect. It's a thing with control. But what about a kind of a form of bondage that is more for discomfort? You know, they
bondage discomfort, sadism and masochism.
Like it's kind of like a thing where they put a bit of sand in your sock.
I'm sure there are people who like this.
Ooh, like a bit of sand in their sock.
They extra big and scratchy tags sewn into your t-shirts and underwear.
They give each other really dry eyes.
Discomfort.
Sexually, just kind of fanning some dry.
Do they have a safe word? Do they still need one for when things get so discomfortable? that it becomes unsafe.
I mean, I don't know if it ever becomes unsafe. So it would have to be a something else word. Let's see. What's a kind of lesser form of safety?
When you need an itch. A lesser form of safety.
Is there a word for something that's like,
Well, I guess
but it's when you just want to feel a bit more comfortable. It's like a snug word.
Snowbird. That's quite good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I apologize. I'm running out of ideas, Alistair. I'm running out of steam here.
I apologize that my idea was a little bit weak.
No, Alistair, that's not it. I mean, but it is one of those ideas where that I love, and I'm always proposing, where it's what if we had a more mild version of a thing that already exists?
But then, order for comedy, you kind of need a more extreme version of the mildness somehow.
Yes, extreme mild. We invented a new kind of mildness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, do you think you could have an extreme mild chili sauce?
Maybe. I feel like custard is extremely mild.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, sometimes it is too sweet, and so in that way. But, yeah, I can see what you're saying. But, like, something that is not too much anything. But also, like, you know, like if you tasted something that was perfectly balanced in flavors,
yes,
that would almost be too good, and so that's not mild.
Well, so I mean, what if it was balanced in all flavors?
You're balanced in all flavors, but also not that good.
I want to make a food that has all the flavors in it. Somebody should do that.
You know what's a good version of kind of something that's an extreme mild in terms of flavor is like unbuttered popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, you know, it almost is nothing.
Every flavor food. Food made of every flavor. No, there's nothing. Someone should do it. Every flavor food. It's got every single one in there, all competing. Peppermint. Chili.
How many would you put in there in order before you think you could legally say that it's every flavor?
I think you could find a way. You just find every food stuff and put a little bit of it each in there.
Maybe if you just swept a fresh food market and the sort of the butcher area and the fish area.
Yes.
And the cheese and wine area.
Yes.
Swept that up, mopped it up, swept it up.
You sucked on that mop.
You put it into a big bin, and then you tip that bin into a grinder.
I tell you what, thinking about sucking on a mop is not making me feel good.
Oh, that would be an extreme discomfort.
Yes.
Oh, suck it! I know one of the worst feelings that I remember is walking around as a kid, finding like a cloth that was left outside in the snow, and then putting it in my mouth and biting. Just that sort of like, it's got give, but it's extreme cold. And every aspect of it is bad. I promise you, you might think biting into a frozen cloth that you find in the snow would be good. Well, I promise you it is not. It's the cold equivalent of sucking on a mop. Anyway, we've fucking ended this podcast 13 minutes ago, and I'm just, I don't know.
Alistair, also, thank you.
I need to say hello to Michaela, I believe, who I think saw my wife in the Indiana in the supermarket and told her that her and her husband love the podcast and listen to it. So hello to Michaela and your husband. Thank you so much. And they recognize my beloved from my Instagram. We're going to go into the song now.
Okay. Man, sorry, everybody. You know, I tuned out at some point and
I think we fucking lost it when we started talking about tax. I'm not sure if that's ever the thing to really enrich a podcast. At least until we start our tax podcast.
I think it brought us all closer together.
Andy, would you do a podcast with me where we watch all the episodes? I mean, it's just that I don't necessarily like this form of podcast, but where we watch all the works of Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
I think I would enjoy watching Sliders. I've never watched Sliders.
We could do that.
I think watching all of My Secret Identity would be hard work. You'll never guess my secret identity. It's that one where he can fly, but he can't propel himself, so he uses spray cans. He can float, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah, zero gravity. Yeah, right. But he also has it. Yeah, I assumed he'd be some sort of master of disguise. But he can float.
He might also have super speed or something like that. But but not while he's in the air. He has to use spray cans.
That's fun. Anyway. Thanks everybody for listening. Buy tickets to Alistair's show. Buy tickets to Stupid Old Studios live performance next week. I'm going to be in the audience.
I think you can probably go for free, even maybe. I'm not sure if you can to the live taping.
You might be able to win a double pass. Definitely. I'm gonna be there, Alistair. I'm coming along with Pete.
Oh my goodness! I have not had I haven't been doing that much stand up. I've got to figure out what fucking stand up I'm going to do.
You're just working on that new stand-up festival show.
New stand-up festival show. Let's end the podcast, Andy. It's been so good. I'm so glad that I was actually recording. All right, let's go. And we love you. Bye, love.
Bye.
See ya. Bye, Michaela and husband.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.